Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Set. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. We are so excited to have you back. This is we're teachers. That's verbiage in my brain. This is episode 83, Creating a Positive School Culture.
Twitter chat episode 83, but like podcast episode, we're pushing 90.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is, this one's on creating positive school culture. It was hosted by Kimber Blodgett, and rumor has it, Miss Kim is going to do the interview.
Oh.
Now, if she doesn't, you should all tweet at her, at Kimber Blodgett, and tell her we all wanted to hear her voice.
I believe that occurred after she hosted the last...
There was
some conversation about, hey, you need to do this. By the way, you're Aaron Barnes, and you're on Twitter at ebarnes73, and I'm Scott Hazelwood on the Twitter at Teach From Here.
Yes, and you can follow the podcast on Twitter at OaklaSaid.
Bang. Let's jump in with all 5 feet, shall we?
Question one. What does creating a positive school culture mean to you, and why is it important? And as I was looking for answers, I saw Miss Tolanya Norfair, and she was like, I forgot to add. And so I was like, oh boy, I better go find her other one. And so I've got a two-parter, and they're both her. The first answer is A1, creating a positive school culture means you're being intentional about making the environment where all students soar, not just make it. It's important because it determines the success of a student. And then she said, I forgot to add, it means a lot of hard work. It means you're going, it means you are doing a lot of things even when you don't feel like it. Forgot to add my realness to the answer pool. And so I like that she says what it takes, but then she comes back and she's like, wait a minute. Just because I said that's what it takes, I forgot to say it takes a lot of hard work.
You don't just magically get positive culture.
Poof.
I mean, you can't do the Glinda the Good Witch wave of the wand and boom, everybody's happy.
Right.
Or positive. And even in positive culture, people may not be walking around smiling, but you can definitely walk into a building that has a positive culture about it and one that isn't, and you can feel it when you walk in the office. I went with Missy Martin Berry. She's at Missy Martin Burr number one. She said positive school culture means positive and meaningful relationships with all students. Isn't that what it's really all about? And I would say, yeah. And I would add to that, not just all students, but all faculty, all staff, all the folks. Like, we're all cool here and we all love each other.
I like it. Hey, I'm really excited that question one was like a little like one and a half liner. Question two is an essay and you got it.
That darn Kimberly Blodgett. Questions on questions on questions. La 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 la. Here we go. Teachers. What is one way you foster a positive culture with your students, admin, colleagues, and community? What is one area you can improve? Admin, what is one way you do the same with teachers, students, community? What is one area you could improve? So, this is sort of legal because she did parse it out into teachers, admin, but she snuck two questions per in there, that rascal.
I know. It's all right.
Yeah.
If she weren't so darn cute, then we'd probably get on to her. I went with Andrea Crow on this one, and Andrea is at EdPsych8 on the Twitters. She says, visibility and engagement. One goal of mine is to continue to strive to take the time to do things right, which means not giving into the typical pressure on a new admin to multitask and give answers quickly. No matter who I'm with, students, teacher, community member, I'm listening and engaged. And I thought that that was really intentional.
That's a good one, especially sometimes we want things to happen so fast. And she says in there, you know, I got to understand that it may not be possible to give a fast answer.
Right.
You know, that the whole human nature and the instant gratification, you know, like, hey, my phone just went off. Let me just pause this podcast and look at it. Oh boy, here's what's going, you know what I mean? And we get instant Twitter news. Like, how many times have you checked the news the past couple of days to see what kind of shenanigans have gone on? You know what
Lots
I mean?
Lots of Kavanaugh stuff.
Yeah. Yikes. I went with Rick Cobb. He's at Grindle Rick. And he said, I try to make, by the way, welcome back, Dr. Cobb.
Woo!
Boy, have we missed being able to share your tweets on the podcast.
Yep.
He said, I try to make sure we're showcasing all the great things going on in the district. We can always do better at that, though. And as the leader, that's sort of what you expect him to say. But he's also a leader where I believe that's what he's working to do. Like, hey, we're going to show off all the great things we do, and we're going to get better at it. We're not just going to sit here on these great things. We're going to do more and better great things.
I like it.
I like him.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
So, funny story real quick about Dr. Cobb.
Yeah, tell
me. I talked to him, sort of negotiated, whatever. I got him to Stillwater to speak to some of my students for a class one time. And we went to Fuzzy's Taco Shop to eat a taco. And I made a comment that, gosh, Dr. Cobb, you're wearing a tie. You're going to spill taco sauce on it. He's like, nah, it'll be okay. Guess what happened?
He spilled taco sauce on it.
So we had a chuckle, and he's like, what are you going to do? It's great.
He remains positive.
He does.
Even when things are, I mean, he's got some vitriol, but he's always got a funny spin on it, so it's kind of positive anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, question three. Only 1 in 3 students rate their school culture positively. What do you think are the major factors in this statistic? And then you've got a link here in the show notes
for that. I got slightly distracted because an email popped up over here and it drew my attention away. But I do have that graphic. I have the link for that.
Thank you.
On the show notes page. And it came from research that was done. So by a group that's what they do. Like, they research these sorts of things. They research with students. Like, that's their focus. It's interesting.
Okay.
Sorry, awkward pause.
1 in 3 is not amazing.
No. So, my bad on the instant gratification. I'm so sorry.
Well, I went with Jamie Dawn Cole, and she 4 at underscore Cole's Jamie. She says, we have to build relationships before any learning can occur. A major factor is probably bullying. If you have relationships with your students, they are more apt to be honest about what's happening at school. And I have to agree with there, but I wonder how many of the bullying problems are teachers bullying. Have you ever seen a teacher bully a kid?
I'm sure I have, and I'm sure I've been that teacher, although I didn't call it bullying. I called it badgering to get what I needed from them so I could get them the heck out of my class one day instead of have a repeat situation.
No, I hear that. I think there's a difference. I do. Yes, I do. But I think that there's a difference there. I've seen some pretty rough situations before.
Yeah, I've seen some things where I've wondered on the student-teacher interaction if that's 100% how it needed to be.
Right. So I pray that one, all of us here are, you know, in the Okla Ed chat are probably preaching to the choir. But I think that if we can go out into the world and be the beacon, you know, for other teachers, then that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. That's noted. Noting it right now.
Okay.
Getting my notebook noted. So I went with Aubrey Noel too. She said horrendous discipline policies and outdated practices. Now, funny story. I'm teaching a classroom management course, and we're talking about some of this authoritative control in the classroom and does it really work and what's actually best for kids. And it has led to all kinds of discussions about, you know, different ways to handle adverse situations. And a lot of times the hammer is not the best way.
Interesting. But it seems to be fast and quick, right?
Yeah, fast and quick, because that's how life is going to be, fast and quick. But I think Aubrey's right here, too, because I think in general, teachers get that some of our policies are outdated.
Sure.
And old-fashioned, and not in step with modern psychological developmental research. Okay. Yet we hang on to those things. I mean, why? Because we've always done it that way, you know? Q4, in the current testing environment, how do you put emphasis on teaching social-emotional skills necessary to create a positive school culture?
That is a good question.
Answer that question. That is a You'll really have a million seller, million copy seller book.
Yeah. No, seriously. So I went with the Joy Hofmeister tweet on this one. She is the superintendent at the State Department of Education. She said, principals and teachers can help students shift from test cramming to continuous learning that builds week by week and month by month. Recognizing progress as it develops instills confidence and fortifies hope with students. And I have to 100% agree, but I have a question on it.
Aaron, what's your question on this tweet?
Well, so my view on this may be different because we are a performance-driven school, right? Like, teachers are paid on performance-based pay.
Okay.
So there is definitely focus to do what you're supposed to do, but test scores matter.
Right.
Right? Do what you're supposed to do is the front and foremost. It's they're never like a super test prep. But
it's a bump in the paycheck.
It is a bump in the paycheck. So it's really tempting. Do other schools, Scott, have schools that you've worked for in the past put much emphasis on test scores?
Yes.
Okay. And so what's that look like, and how if the schools feel pressured to have those test scores high, how, even with Joy's tweet here, how do we move away from that?
I think one way to move away from this emphasis on testing is to, well, one of the steps has already been taken, is that it's not as strong of a role player in the schools being ranked and sorted A through F.
Right.
So
right.
By eliminating that, we've taken some of the pressure off. I think there needs to be some sort of springtime testing situation. I get that. That really is important. You know, it allows me to look at what I'm doing as a teacher with my students. Am I getting them where they need to be? Where am I weak as a teacher? Where am I strong? You know, but when we take those results and then we use them to just whack teachers over the head and tell them how terrible they are, that's the wrong way, because then the pressure is on us to not look like idiots inside of our own communities where we know everybody. And you don't want to be the teacher where they're all like, you don't want to take Dr. Hazelwood's class because those test scores are poopy, yucky, doo-doo.
You'll be a real dum-dum when you leave Hazelwood's class.
Yeah. So and it becomes public information. I mean, you've had instances where several years ago, especially when there was just everything was so high stakes, just in our very, very near distant past, not far removed from those teachers in the Atlanta area who came in and needed like good scores for their schools to not be basically closed or whatever it was. And so they erased and did the things, and they got caught and found guilty in trials and are in prison. So you tell me how we don't emphasize test scores when that is lingering.
That's a great question.
So I can appreciate what Joy is saying. 100% appreciate that. But our current environment doesn't give teachers a lot of confidence that we can do what she's asking us to do. And you and I have talked about this. I'm a firm believer in what Joy is like. I believe we should do what Joy is saying. But there's this fear in the back that teachers fall back onto, I think. And maybe this is me just taking a guess here. But we look at that and we go, well, I want my kids to pass a test, so I know this works. I know this test prep thing works and will get them through that test, whether it's good for them educationally or not.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, we've got our state superintendent saying we can do this. Where is the disconnect? Mm-hmm. How do we move away from that?
Yeah, I think one way we can start to move away from that is when we look at how much money we're spending on standardized assessment here in Oklahoma, and we half it. And I think that sends a message to teachers that, you know, yeah, it's important, but it's not that important anymore. Like, your student learning is, we're removing this from your plate because we know that's where it's going to end up.
Okay, I like that.
I went with Chauncey Lohr. Whew, sorry, soapbox. Chauncey Lohr. I stressed how test scores do not define my students. They are not more than just a number. I stress how they have talents that stretch beyond what test scores measure. Why? It's true.
Why?
It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
I picked him later.
I want to teach with him.
I know.
That Dr. Laura Searcy.
I was really impressed with him.
She cranked out a good one right there.
Yeah, she did. Question 5. In order to establish and maintain a positive school culture, we must celebrate each other's successes and our successes. Teachers, how have you shown your admin you appreciate them? Admin, same, but for your faculty and staff. So that's a great question. How do you show your admin you appreciate them?
Here's what I struggled with this, except I try to tell them thank you all the time.
Okay.
Thank you for taking a chance on, like, thank you for taking a risk on hiring Scott Hazelwood. That's a risk. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
And until you get to know me for a little while, you don't know what you're going to get. So, so that's a risk. And I appreciated that. But I always try to tell them thank you.
Really good. I am constantly texting amazing pictures and saying, you know, because of you, this is happening. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always trying to say thank you, but also, like, you know, show them products of what they're doing.
Hey, and one of the things that at Eben Memorial, it was a family atmosphere unlike any school I've ever been in. With between the faculty and the colleagues, and for the most part, the students and the administration and staff, it wasn't, you know, sometimes you can wind up in a building where it's teachers versus admin or teachers versus student, you know, and there's just a little bit of conflict or some things roiling under the surface. But at Memorial, it really was a great, great place. And it wasn't uncommon for faculty and administration to do things sort of together. And I really appreciated, you know, periodically when the administration would do stuff for us. Carrie Higdon came in one day and she's like, Mr. Hazelwood, what kind of Starbucks coffee would you like today? You know, and they had this big, like, 3.5 gallon, you know, those big thermos 3 gallon things or whatever. Some parent had brought by, I don't know how many gallons of hot coffee. And so the administration and all the fixins. So the administration came by and every teacher that wanted a hot cup of coffee got a hot cup of coffee.
Excellent. So who'd you pick?
I picked Jane Ellen Taylor. She's an admin.
Yeah.
She said, as admin, I give positive notes about specific things I see each week in the newsletter. We have sonic winners highlighting staff's best practices, kind acts, etc. I'll do anything for, I bet that's like a sonic gift card.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. I'll do anything for a $5 sonic gift card or a $5 Starbucks gift card.
Steiner here. Oh yeah, and we've done $5 McDonald's, mm-hmm. Because it's just close, yeah. And that seems, people seem to be like, ooh, cool. So I went with Krista Steiner on this one. She is at Profi Steiner. She says, I try to always thank admin when I have a notable success in and out of the classroom. The CPS Reds admin is extremely supportive, and continued PD without their support, I would not ever have a chance for success. Oh, and without their support. Man, they PD out the wazoo. Typically, it seems like you get to choose your own PD, right? Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, for the most part.
I have seen lots of stories come out of that area where they're talking about loving on their admin. So it must be a pretty good work environment.
They take some intentional risks on the admin side out there with what they try and do.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, question 6.
Give a shout out to someone that always seems to be super positive, whether it be someone at your school, community, or on Twitter. Tell them why you appreciate them.
Okay, That one was ridiculously hard. And it's funny because I found a tweet. I was like, okay, this is my easy way of like not picking one person who named, you know, like six people.
Yeah.
And then you did the same thing, but it was a different person doing the same thing. So I went with Twyla Hester.
How do you pick just one?
I know, because like, I'm like, oh, those are some good, wait a minute, those are good people. And I don't know who those people are. So, you know, do I not give them a shout out? Anyway, Twyla Hester, who is at Twyla Hester on the Twitter, she said, so many great Okla Ed peeps are so positive. My source of attitude refreshment each week.
And I went with Sherry Gately. She said, for real, I can't tag everyone, but Oklahoma educators are amazing. Seriously, the best. Y'all inspire me daily. And now this particular tweet was 6B because she had already used her 240 on 6A, trying to list as many people as she could.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Question seven. Positive C. School. What?
C. Question seven. Yes.
Oh. Siete. Okay. I was like, wait a minute. What? Okay. Positive school culture can be challenging due to all the hardships public school teachers face. Large class sizes, low pay, not adequate education funding, infrastructure, etc. What keeps you positive during these times? What keeps you teaching in Oklahoma? Hey, first of all, you already know I have a big problem with reading words.
Yeah.
And you stopped me in the middle. Like, I was on a roll, but I did feel like I came back and I did it again well. So
what did I stop you in the middle of?
You were with your C.
Oh, sorry. Yes. And then you read the question just perfect because I distracted you.
Know.
So I'll anyway, distract you again before you read this tweet.
That's a great question. What?
I'll distract you again before you read this next tweet so that you can...
Dang it, you just distracted me. So I'm with Andrea Crow on this one, and she is at EdPsych8 again. You should follow her on the Twitters. On hard days, I try to end by sitting in the classroom and making a positive phone call to a parent to tell them how great their kid is. It refocuses me. I'm here to advocate for students and teachers. And amidst it all, great things are happening here. And I was like, I just want to give a shout out to Andrea because that's amazing. And usually at the end of a hard day, I'm like, baby, let's go out to eat because I can't even anymore. And so the fact that she's willing to go and give, you know, a positive phone call at the end of it all.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Kudos.
No doubt.
I went with Christy Coop here. And if you know her life story at all, she's just one ginormous ball of positive because you
even
have to be.
Even where she could be so negative, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's experienced some things in the past couple of years where she could be consumed with negativity, but you rarely see that, if ever. And so I thought this tweet from her summed it all up rather great. I don't focus on the negative.
And she had another tweet that went in here somewhere. Maybe it was for question nine, okay. Where she was just showing, bam, 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 the posters, not posters, the giant wall displays that are all over her school that her kids are doing. And I mean, I can't see negativity happening at all in those hallways.
You know, homework week is, or homework week, homeroom week, jeez, homecoming week is fun in high school.
I see, and that is a piece I don't see.
Yeah, it's just a different, here? It's a fun deal. It's a fun deal. Okay, question eight.
Yes.
Does your school use PBIS, Positive Behavior Intervention Supports? If you do, what do you think about it? If you don't, what do you use instead to take the focus from punitive consequences to positive behaviors?
All right, so here's where Chong C. Lore came in and knocked it out of the park again. He says, unfortunately, no. I'm the one who has to do that. And I was like, dang, dude, you're awesome. Like, the fact nobody in his school is doing it, but you know what? He's going to try it anyway.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too. I think it's great. I went with Kristen Atchley, who is hashtag amazeballs. She came up and spoke with my students. And
oh, did she?
Yeah, and left them all in awe of...
Of course she did.
Of what they were... And they, like, she left, and they were all, like, deer in the headlights. And I... As their instructor, I'm like, oh, did this go over well? Was this too much information? You know, I'm, like, in my mind now, I'm like, oh, man, maybe this wasn't a good call. Because they're pre-service teachers. They don't have, like... they don't have experiences to fall back on with what she's talking about with some of these things.
Sure. Sure.
And she left and they were like, oh my gosh, she was so fabulous. Can she come back and speak to our student organization?
I was like, please?
Sure. And then two of my students were like, we have questions. More questions. So I was like, yes.
Yes.
So anyway, I went with Kristen Ashley for this. And she says she's not in a school, but I support both PBIS and other options. Being trauma-informed takes it back to restorative practices and relationships.
Amen. Oh, good. Small question here.
All right,
question 9. How does a positive school culture lead to an innovative school culture? That's a good question.
That's a good question. And if I know that I'm in a positive school culture, I'll take risks.
Take risks. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Todd Gregg, who is at Mr. Gregg on the Twitters, he says, if you're in a positive place, you feel supported and you try new innovative things. You're willing to try the potentially crazy idea because of that positive support. And I have to agree. Like, mm-hmm. if I feel comfort and like, I'm in a comfortable place, then I'm much more willing to go the, you know, one big step. Let's try this crazy idea versus like if I'm in a place where there's no autonomy, somebody's barking at me all the time. I'm like, well, I'm not going to step outside of the lines because, you know, I don't feel like I can. I'm scared to.
Right. And this is where, and that leads right into the tweet that I picked from Caitlin Neely, who is at Neely Caitlin. And she said, No one ever has a new idea and runs to their most negative friend to share it with them first. Like, I've got this great idea. I think it could be excellent. Let me go run to my negative Nancy friend and bounce it off of them.
No, I hate it. That's the worst.
She
Don't
said,
do it.
I want.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. She goes, I want my students to know that I get excited when they have epiphanies. I'm all in with their learning and love when we can come up with new learning strategies together.
Yay! Way to go, Caitlin.
That's a good one. So, question 10, in a positive classroom culture, what does student learning look like?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Only the best from Miss Kimber.
Yeah, so I went with Cindy Johnson here, and she is at Johnson Math. She said, student learning looks like a group of students questioning and assisting each other to strive for understanding instead of just wanting the answer. It looks like students who consistently strive to do their best on every assignment and every test. And I thought that was good. I really liked the idea of them striving for understanding and wanting to help each other. So that I really like that idea.
Yeah, that's good. I went with Sarah Ford Hampton, and she is at S. Ford Hampton. She said, in a positive classroom culture, learning looks like Olive Gardner's multiple intelligences at work, not children stuck in chairs all day.
Yes.
And I like that because, if you know, sometimes what education boils down to is low-grade clerical work, which who wants to do that?
No.
You know, is it necessary for every job? Sometimes you got some low grade clerical work, but if it's 8 hours a day, all day, every day, yuck. So yeah, let's move around. Let's change chairs. Let's do different things and sprinkle it in. I like that. Now, this was a double for me because I also liked Jessica Robinson, and she's at Just Rob. She said, to me, it looks like risk and probably a dose of failure with a smile on its face.
I like it.
I thought both of those were really good. Dang, how many questions did Kimberly ask?
No, I was like, okay, not only does she do the multiple question thing, but there's like 45 questions here.
45?
So, question 11. Just kidding, there's only two more here. Question 11. In a positive school culture, what does teacher learning look like? Bam. Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So I went with Caitlin again here, and she says, teachers owning it when they make a mistake and never getting too comfortable with one way of doing things. Just like my students, I can always improve. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I think as teachers, I think sometimes we understand that, but it's hard for us to do that.
Oh, no, I totally agree, but I think that's why the EdCamp movement is so positive. You know, you're trying to always get better here.
Deborah Thornton, she's at DJ Thornton. She said, in a positive school culture, T's are always learning, so it looks like a regular school day, but it should also include elements like hashtag observe me in peer reading groups and passion projects. Let those teachers pour some of their coolness into other things. I really like the passion project one because I think that's going to be some sort of physical representation that your students can see. Typically, you know.
Right.
So anyway, question 12. Well,
question 12, last question of the podcast episode. Why don't you read that one?
We agreed like in episode 4 or somewhere way back 80 something episodes ago, I would do evens.
You go ahead.
Okay.
I was just on a reading kick today. Like I've been nailing questions.
Like I've gotten through today in one take. It's been fabulous. Okay. Question 12. Imagine you're a parent walking into your school building. What are they hearing, smelling, seeing? What do you think their first impression would be of your school?
Smelling?
You know, sometimes, you know,
I like that she added smelling in there.
I'm telling you, when the cafeteria is cooking cinnamon rolls and you walk into the building and that's what you smell?
Yes.
I mean, day made.
You're right.
Yeah.
Hey, we both picked the same persons and you did all this first. So you should say it.
So I went with Steve Gilliland and so did Aaron, as it turns out.
I don't know how this happens. I just don't pay attention sometimes.
And he's at Steve_Gilliland. He said, I would hope they see people who act like they want to be there. Lots of smiles and laughter.
And I went with Steve Gilliland and he said, I would hope that they see people who liked.
But you know what? Okay. If people feel positive and that's what you see, you feel that. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said at the very beginning, when you walk into the office, you know.
Yeah. Oh, so I worked at this school in Sepulpa, and the secretary, God rest her soul.
God rest her.
She had like cinnamon something, like a candle or, I don't know, scentsy or something in her office all the time. And I always walked in and smelled like Red Hots.
Oh.
I just wanted to sit in her office just all day long. Breathe it in. Yes. Anyway.
All right. Who'd you do for Boom Sauce?
I went with Kristen Ashley.
Hashtag Boom Saucy.
She is so Boom Saucy. And so this is in response to question 9, which I'll remind you is, how does a positive school culture lead to innovative school culture? And she said, it's definitely not natural. When you're diving into the why positive school culture, you understand kids as they are today, which hopefully can lead to innovation. It can be a challenge, but it's always worth it.
That's a good one. I went with Melinda Parks, and she's at McCap Sparks, and she said, now this is in response to question 1, so let's go way back to the, travel me with, if you will, back in time to the very first question of the podcast, which is, what does creating a positive school culture mean to you, and why is it important? So,
all right. So what was her answer?
She said, it's complex, but it boils down to having an environment focused on teaching and learning where everyone from the principal to the youngest student, the parents in the community, are happy to be there and engaged in the work of education. Let's just imagine that for a minute.
Right.
Like from the top of the head to the bottom of the toes, like, and everybody's engaged in it and wanting the best for it. I mean, it's like unstoppable.
When you say, let's imagine going there, do you a little bit think about Happy Gilmore going to his happy place?
I hesitate to put this out where people can judge me later, but I have never seen Happy Gilmore.
That's probably okay.
But I've seen Napoleon Dynamite like, I don't know, 20 times.
Okay. So. Well, next week on the Twitter chat, the Oakle Ed Twitter chat, it is the legislative update time. Mm-hmm. And that is with Sean Heim. And it'll be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Are we out of daylight time? Isn't it CDT?
No, it's always CST.
Until we fall back?
No, I thought it was always Central Standard Time no matter what.
Oh.
Because not everybody does the daylight savings. There's some places that don't do that.
Okay, but we don't change the thing based on it?
We always chat at 8.
I know we chat at 8.
Every Sunday.
Right.
In the evening.
Right.
No matter whether it's daylight savings time or not, it's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I know we Okies know that. But what about Arizona?
That was the one state I was thinking of that I don't think is on daylight savings time.
I know.
But I couldn't
exactly
remember.
All right.
All right. All right, educators, you know what to do. In case Kimberly Blodgett doesn't say it, go out and dominate.
Dominate the world. Okay, Scott, I am a willy-nilly son of a gun. I'm so sorry. My UPS guy is here.
Stinking UPS.
Hello?
Yeah?
You're good?
Yeah.
Do I sound okay?
Yeah.
You hate it?
No. Are we playing 20 questions?
They're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.